The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
We've gathered for the wafat of Ummul Mu'mineen, Khadija Salawatullah alayha. We need to look at the personality of Bibi Khadija Salawatullah alayha. She truly, for us, she is the example of this last ayat from Surah Hud that I mentioned. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Who maintained their sabr and did good in all situations. And this is where, you know, she is for us an example of somebody who is blessed with maqfira and ajre kareem as well as ajre kabir. Because we know about her background historically. We hear about it from childhood. That Khadija salawatullah alayha, you know, she was blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with wealth, affluence, prestige and honor. Everything was there for her. To the extent that if you look at the narrations that we have, especially Surah Ilaf, you know, two trade caravans used to go from Makkah. In winter, it will go south to Yemen, depending on the season there. And during the summertime, a caravan will go to north in Damascus. This is how the Meccans were basically the middlemen, you know, taking goods from the from Asia, which was coming mostly by sea to Yemen, and then taking it further, and then when they go to north, this is Sham, basically was the central market for merchants coming from Eastern Europe as well as Africa. And so the Arabs were basically the middlemen between the European market and Asian market as well as Eastern Europe and Africa. And if you look at the numbers, we are told that the caravans which would leave Mecca, almost half of the caravan would consist of the camels and the goods which belonged to Khadija salawatullah alayha. So she was indeed a very affluent and a rich and a wealthy lady of the time. But this was her, you know, strength of her character. Even before Islam, even before her marriage to Rasulullah, that she was a lady who was not, you know, did not become corrupt because of affluence. Her character was solid. You know, basically, we sometimes use this word, it's not a proper, you know, language, but we make it up, you know, that she was not, she had affluence, but she was not inflicted by affluenza. You know, this arrogance which comes with affluence. And this is where we see that, you know, when it comes to the issue of her charity, her akhlaq, you know, someone who is surrounded with wealth all around, yet she is not tied to that wealth. She is not slave of that wealth. She was truly, in a way, a malik. She was the malika and the, you know, somebody who has absolute control on her wealth, and she was basically not under the influence of affluence at all. Even before Islam, even before the marriage of Bibi Khadija to Rasulullah, she was already known in the society as At-Tahira. That was one of her titles. At-Tahira, we are talking about somebody who is, you know, pure in her character. And this was basically, they describe that she was known as Tahira li shiddati ifafiha, because of the strong sense of chastity that she had, and modesty. And this is where, you know, when it comes to the issue to even proposals of marriages coming to her. You know, if a person was rich, it would not really be a big deal for her. She was affluent by herself. You know, so that is not the quality that she was looking in the people who would send the marriage proposals to her. And so many, many affluent people, many famous figures who have of high status in society would propose marriage, and she would refuse. And eventually, her selection goes to somebody who had become her employee, actually. It was not the issue of wealth. This is where, you know, Abu Talib alayhi salam actually said that, you know, now that you have, referring to the Prophet, that now you're grown up, you know, let us arrange something so that you can be a man of your own resources. And it was the request, I would say, or recommendation of Abu Talib to Khadija that I have a nephew who would like you to, you know, employ him. And probably this was her method of how to evaluate her employees, that she assigned a slave to go with the Prophet in the first trade caravan that the Prophet took as the person in charge, manager of that, you know, trade caravan of Khadija. And this slave was assigned by Khadija to be with him all the time. That when he comes back, he will give a full report about his dealings and, you know, his behavior and character. And this is where, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings were there on the Prophet, that he was able to make very good deals, came back with, you know, good profit. But that was not the only thing. When the slave came and basically gave the report about the dealings of the Prophet, you know, his akhlaq with the customers, his overall, you know, behavior with the people around, this is what influenced her quite a lot, impressed her mind. And this is where we see that the, you know, it was not the issue of money and wealth. The criteria in her eyes was the akhlaq of the person. And of course, the Prophet was already known as As-Sadiq and Al-Amin, you know, a truthful person and a trustworthy person. These are the two core, you know, pillars of Islamic akhlaq. This is where we really have to, you know, think about it. Just saying that he was a Sadiq and Amin is not sufficient. You know, in our own life, it is Sidq in our words and this sense of amanat and trustworthy when we deal with the amanat of people, trust of the people. This is very important. You know, there is actually a statement from the sixth Imam where he quotes his father. He was saying that there was a time, so he was kind of, you know, not very happy with the situation of the Shias at that time. He was saying there was a time when if you go to a village or a town and if you ask, you know, who is the most truthful person, they will identify somebody who is from the Shias of Ali. If they go somewhere to a community and say, who is the most trustworthy person, they will point out to a person who would be from the Shia of Ali. Means these are the characters and the qualities that, you know, Ahlul Bayt actually expect from us. And this is where we see that this was the basis of this marriage of Bibi Khadija salawatullah alayha to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She lived with the Prophet before Islam for 15 years. Islam has not yet started. And you know, when we look at the process of wahi coming in and the mission of Islam starts, it's very easy and very simple to say that the first person to accept the message of Rasulullah was actually his wife. But the important thing to keep in mind, and I emphasize on this issue many, many times, is that, you know, if you really want to know the true character of the person, ask, especially if we're talking about a man, go and ask his wife. She would know him better than anyone else. You know? the fact that Khadija is the first one to accept this message, this is actually not only to the credit of Khadija, this is actually a reflection of the pure character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Azim Alim Halim Hakim Mateen شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.